This lesson kind of came out of some comments that I made during Rue's message. And in that I talked about how Rue always did what was right and not necessarily what was easy. He did what was right, but not necessarily what was easy. This lesson this morning is, how do I know whether something is right? When we talk about someone doing what was right, what does that mean? And how do we know if when we do something, it's right? Because remember, there's many instances in the Old Testament where the people did what was right in their own eyes, very last verse of Judges. That's what the people did. They did what was right in their eyes. But is that what's right? Just because you and I think it's right, does that mean it is right? And when we say we're doing what's right, what does that mean and what are we basing it on? Is there a way to know whether something is right or is it wrong? So how can I know? Well, the only way to know for sure is to look at what the Bible says. You will find many people, number one, that say things like, well, I feel that I'm a Christian, or I feel that I've been forgiven. They may even say, well, I know I'm a Christian, or I know I've forgiven, or I know I'm saved. The Bible also tells us, though, that those feelings are not necessarily right. In Matthew chapter 7, this was something that was read this morning in class. Jesus says this, beginning in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now here are a group of people that Jesus says believe they're right. They believe they're right because of what? Well, they've cast out demons, they've prophesied, and they've done a lot of wonders in His name. So because of that, they believe everything is fine. They believe they're saved. They believe they have a relationship with God. But Jesus says they don't. They felt those things were true. Jesus says, don't base right or wrong on your feelings. Because our feelings can mislead us into doing what is wrong. These people were apparently sincere. It wasn't that they were insincere. They were sincere people. But they were sincerely wrong. You know, you and I can be sincerely wrong about a lot of things in life. But these things, but these people were wrong about the most important thing there is. And that's their eternal destiny. So don't base right or wrong on whether you feel it's right or wrong. People can feel that they're right. People can feel that they're saved. People can feel that everything is okay when in reality it's not at all. We read that there were people back in the Old Testament that they did what seemed right to them. And today you may yourself or you may have had conversations with people where they'll say things like, well, I can't believe that God would condemn somebody because they weren't baptized. Or I can't believe God would send someone to an eternal place of pain because they didn't worship Him like the Bible says. You know, I just can't believe those things. They seem right to me. It seems right to me that God would allow any type of worship as long as we were sincere. Or it seems right to me that there are many ways to be saved. God would not condemn somebody for those things. And if you've lived long enough, you've probably heard those. You probably have. How does God feel about that, though? In Proverbs chapter 14, I want us to read a passage there in the Old Testament that will begin this section. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Solomon writes, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." It seemed right. See, they thought it was the right thing to do. They really did. They thought it was the right thing to do. Or they thought, well, it doesn't make any difference whether we take the Lord's Supper once a year or once in a lifetime. That doesn't seem to be a big deal. Or surely it doesn't make any difference whether someone is immersed or if water is poured over them or whether water is sprinkled on them. You know, that just doesn't seem important. On and on the list could go. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, lest we think that's only an Old Testament concept, let's turn to Romans chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 20. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. And let's see what the New Testament says. Romans chapter 6, verse 20, and then we'll read verse 21. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed?" That's the key part of that. "For the end of those things is what? Death." Before they realized what was right and what was wrong, they did things that they thought were right. They were free in regard to righteousness. But he says, now you realize those things are things that you're ashamed of. See, you know the truth now. He says, "For the end of those things that you used to do that you thought were right, brings death." That's the same thing that Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14:12. They thought it was right. People today can have many beliefs about things that they think are right. But the end is death. So just because one believes something is right, the Bible says that doesn't make it right. Just because, number one, you feel that it's right, or number two, you believe that it's right, neither one of those are good bases for knowing whether it's right. Feelings can lead you astray. Beliefs can lead you astray. The Bible says that some people think that preaching is foolishness. Paul spent a good part of his first letter to the church at Corinth talking about that. Many so-called wise people in the world think that preaching is foolishness. But Paul said those people who are wise will be brought down. They'll be shown to be wrong. So even many who believe, who think that these things are right that they do, are wrong. And so you and I need to be very careful that we don't base what we do in life on just our feelings or just whether we think something is right. Because what? We can be wrong. As we look into 2009 as our year of personal evangelism, as our year of mission work locally, We're going to find many people that have those responses. I feel that I'm saved. I believe I'm saved. I think I'm saved. And so we have to be able to go just to what God says to see what's right. There's other things, though, that people do religiously simply based on the fact that there's a lot of people who do it. And have you ever heard, maybe on TV, radio, read in papers, that, well, that many people can't be wrong? You ever heard that? I know I have many times. Some religious belief, whatever it might be, I mean, take your pick. And maybe millions and millions of people practice it. And when you are talking with people about this particular practice, sometimes the response is, well, that many people can't be wrong. What should your response be? Just what we read in Matthew 7, but we'll read a few verses above that. Matthew chapter 7 this time. We'll go back up to verses 13 and 14. These are still the words of our Savior. Still the words of our Savior. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's foolish to base what we believe and practice on the majority. You can begin with Genesis chapter 1 and go all the way through Revelation chapter 22, and in the vast majority of cases, what do you know? The majority was wrong. The majority was wrong. And it's quite often only a very small number of people are basing what they do, or did base what they do, on what God actually said. Noah and the seven other people. There were millions and millions and millions of people on earth by the time Genesis chapter 6 rolls around. God looked at the world, and what did He see? It was overran with wickedness. But He did find one righteous soul by the name of Noah. He destroyed that whole world, millions of people. Millions of people. They thought what Noah was doing was foolish, because Noah preached to them for at least 100 years. Preached to them over and over and over again. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching to them about being right, what it meant to be right, not in their own eyes, but in God's eyes. And so he preached to them over and over again. But what? Hardly anybody listened. A tiny handful of people. I don't know what 8 people out of millions, what percentage that is, but it's tiny. Now, the majority was wrong. And that's what Jesus Himself declared there in Matthew 7. The majority was wrong. The majority choose the easy, wide, broad way. Why? Because it's easy. It's easy. It's easy to enter it. It's easy to stay on it. So the majority was wrong. Other cases. Look at all the people who turned against Christ. Look at all the people who turned against Christ. And they were wrong. They believed what they were doing was right. Most people turned against Christ. So if the majority was right, then Christ was wrong. And we know that's not true. Now, counting noses is never the way to come up with truth and what's right. So we can't determine whether a thing is right by our feelings, by what we seem is right or what we think is right, or by seeing what everybody else is doing. It's not determined like that. Nor is it determined simply by how good people are. Good people can do things that are wrong. Good people that are morally upright can believe and practice things that are wrong. We see that throughout the Bible. But often when you see people and you'll talk with people about salvation or about heaven and hell or about God, they will bring up people like Mother Teresa, or they'll bring up people like that. Morally good people. There have been a lot of atheists that were morally good people. They did good things. There are a lot of atheists that have done good things. So does that mean it's okay to be an atheist? If you base what you do simply on the fact that there are morally good people that do it, and you think that makes it right, then the same thing would be true of atheists. See, that's not valid. There were a lot of morally good people in the Bible who were condemned. Not because they were morally good, they were condemned because they didn't obey God. There's a vast difference between being morally good and obeying God. Those are not the same thing. Countless examples abound in the Bible. Probably the most obvious one is Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. He was a wonderful, wonderful man. He was good. He was fair. He was just. He helped people. Served others. But he was very, very wrong in his religious beliefs. Very wrong. That's why someone had to go to him to tell him what was right. And because he had the right kind of heart, what did he do? As soon as he heard what was right, he obeyed it and did it instantly. See, he had the right kind of heart. He didn't say, I've been good all my life. I've offered sacrifices, or I've given to the poor, or I've done this, or I've done that. He didn't respond like that. Because when he was told the truth, when he was told what was right, he knew it was right. And he responded immediately to what was right. That's how we know he had the right kind of heart. If moral excellence, if being good by itself was enough, Cornelius didn't have to hear the gospel. He was fine just like he was. But the Bible says otherwise. Cornelius wasn't fine. He needed Christ. If people can be saved simply by being good, then that means Christ wasted his time on the cross. He didn't need to come. People could save themselves. People could save themselves. If being good is all it takes, then Christ didn't need to come. I could simply be good enough and that would save me. But the Bible says, no, it can't. Doesn't make any difference how many good works you fill your life with. Apart from Christ, you are still lost. That's what the Bible says. So being moral and upright and good doesn't earn you salvation. It doesn't have the power. It never did. What God says is the only way to know a thing is right. It's the only way. Feelings, beliefs, majorities, none of those things. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. To see whether they were right. Where did they go? The scriptures. How can I know whether something is right? I have to search the scriptures. You mean I can't search something else? No. I can't search my feelings? No. I can't search my beliefs or other people's beliefs? No. I can't go out and see how many people believe it? No. So how can I determine what's right? I have to be just like those people. I have to search the scriptures. That's the only way to know what is right. There isn't any other way. I can't go by feelings. I can't go by my own wisdom. I can't count people. I have to go to God's Word. It lights my path. His commandments are right. They are light to me. That's how I can know. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 is a great verse about this. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. Through inspiration, it's written this. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in them. Where do we go? We go to the law and the testimony. We go to the word. That's where we go. It's the only way we can know. There isn't any other way. So many in the world base right and wrong on simply their feelings. Or what they think or seem is right. Well, that seems to be right. Or they look into the religious world and look at all the multitudes of people who are practicing that and doing that. And they say, well, all those people can't be wrong. Or they look at people who they consider to be good people, morally upright people, and see what they're doing. And they say, well, if they're doing it and they're good people, then that must be right. The Bible says none of those should be the basis for determining what is right and wrong. The Bible says there's only one way to know. Search the Scriptures to see whether those things are so. It's the only way to know. And it's essential in our world that we understand that. Is that what we base our life on? In James chapter 1, this will finish our lesson. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. James says, therefore, it's kind of like he's making a conclusion here. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What's able to save your souls? The implanted word. And you must be a practicer of that word. Feelings can't save you. What you think or believe is right can't save you. The majority of people in the world, that can't save you. Good people in the world can't save you. Being good can't save you. The Bible says that's what can save you is the implanted word. It is able to save your soul. Just like it did in the first century, just like today. It's able to save your souls. It's able to bring forth a new life. You know, when we confess our belief in Christ, when we repent of our past life, turn over to Him, we make that great confession and we're immersed, for that's what the Bible says, not dipped or sprinkled, but immersed. The Bible says our sins are washed away. And that's not based on feelings or what the majority believe or what someone thinks or seems is right. No. You've searched the Scriptures, and that's what the Scriptures say. So you know it's right. And the Scriptures say you come up a new creature. You're the family of God. You're a citizen of the kingdom. Your sins have been washed away. That is what's right. And we know it's what's right because it's what the Word says is right. And if your heart is right today and wanting to accept that truth and act upon it, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.